Welcome back to the Global Greek Influence, the podcast that takes you on a journey through the dynamic world of global Greeks in the realms of technology, cutting-edge scientific and engineering innovation, entrepreneurship and business, also special topics on politics and history. I'm your hostess, Panayota Pimenidou, and I'm thrilled to have you join us once again. If you want to stay updated and never miss an episode, make sure to subscribe, like, and review the Global Greek Influence podcast on your favorite podcasting platform, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, and more. Your support means the world to me. For even more engagement, be sure to follow our podcast's Twitter account, Facebook page, and LinkedIn page. It is the best way to stay up to date with the latest episodes, connect with me directly, and even suggest topics you would love to explore. But wait, there is more. For just €2.99 a month, you can unlock a world of exclusive content. By becoming a premium subscriber, you will gain access to exclusive video episodes available only on Spotify, get sneak peeks of upcoming interviews, and enjoy special episodes that dive deep into fascinating topics. So get ready to immerse yourself in the captivating stories and influential figures that have shaped the global Greek influence and impact the world today. Join us on this exciting journey of discovery and celebration. Thank you for being part of the Global Greek Influence community. Today, we embark on an exciting journey into the realms of blockchain, the metaverse, and NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. Over the past few years, these buzzwords, which I haven't heard before, have captured the imagination of tech enthusiasts, entrepreneurs, and artists alike. But what exactly are the connections between blockchain, the metaverse, and NFTs, and why are they so important in today's digital landscape and beyond? How do these three concepts intertwine? And why is this connection so significant today and in the future? With Professor Marinos Themistocleous from the University of Nicosia in Cyprus, we will explore the countless applications and implications of blockchain, the metaverse, and NFTs, which are actively shaping this digital landscape. Professor Themistocleous will unveil the transformative power of these technologies and their profound impact on society and culture through entertainment, arts, and various industries of the economy, e-business, and information systems, and the way we interact with the world. So join us on this captivating journey as we unlock the potential of blockchain, the metaverse, and NFTs. Together, let's navigate the uncharted territories of technology and embrace the future that lies beyond our screens. As I've already announced, I'm with Professor Marinos Themistocleous today. Marinos is a computer scientist and currently a professor at the Department of Digital Innovation at the University of Nicosia in Cyprus. Marinos is also the Associate Dean of the School of Business and Director at the Institute for the Future at the same university. He's also the Scientific Coordinator for the first of its kind MSc program in Metaverse. We will discuss toward the end about the unique MSc in Metaverse and the MSc in Blockchain and Digital Currency that the University of Nicosia in Cyprus offers since 2018. From 2018 to 2022, Marinos coordinated the MSc program in Blockchain and Digital Currency, which was also a global pioneer in its field, as mentioned before. Further back in time, Marinos' academic journey began at the Department of Information Systems and Computing at Brunel University in London in the United Kingdom. From there, he transitioned to the Department of Digital Systems at the University of Piraeus in Greece. Over the years, he had had fruitful collaborations with institutions such as Bocconi University in Milan, Italy, the University Instituto de Empresa in Madrid, Spain, and Coimbra University in Portugal. In the realm of publications, Marinos has authored 13 books and over 225 articles in academic journals and conference proceedings. Marinos has been consistently active in research, having contributed to more than 50 research and applied research projects. Additionally, he has served as a consultant and expert for numerous public and private entities in the United Kingdom, the EU, and the United States. From 2019 to 2021, Marinos had the honor of being a member of the Parallel Parliament of the Republic of Cyprus, where he chaired the Digital Economy and Digital Governance Committee. Welcome to the show, Marinos.
Thank you very much, Yoda. It's a pleasure to join you today. So I'm glad to discuss with you all these interesting things about non-fungible tokens, blockchain technology, and metaverse.
I'm very happy that you're here with us today because you're going to cover an array of aspects of current digital technologies that have been of great interest to many people. I think you are the best person to speak to about such topics. Blockchain technology has gained significant attention in recent years for its potential to revolutionize various industries. In the ever-evolving landscape of technology, few innovations have garnered as much attention and potential as blockchain. Blockchain often is associated with cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, which is the technology that underlies decentralization, transparency, and trust. But its potential reaches far beyond digital currencies. Even though originally designed to support cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin, blockchain technology has since expanded into various industries, including the gambling industry. How has the blockchain technology transformed the gambling industry? And what are the key benefits and challenges associated with its implementation?
Yeah, thank you very much for this question. I think this is a very interesting one because online betting and gambling is among the most profitable online business. But also they present a lot of concerns, or we may have some kind of problems there. We can see that thousands of people are engaged in online gambling daily, and some of them or many of them may be addicted users. So the question is, how can you use the technology to protect them? In addition to this, we are exposed to various websites that some of them, you know, offer the online gambling and betting, but some of them operate without a license. So we need to think, or we need to take actions in order to reduce our exposure to these different unlicensed, let's say, websites. And of course, there are many concerns from the users in regards to the fairness, the security, or other issues associated with the operation of these online gambling services. So some of the concerns that we can think of can be, for instance, how can players be sure that an online game such, let's say, blackjack is truly fair? All right. Many times we play cards, all right, or we're not sure whether the cards are coming out in a random order, or there is someone behind the system who manipulates the outcome just to maximize their benefits, their profits. So this question offers comes in mind when we are dealing with these kind of environments. In addition, we can see, as I said before, many individuals that are exposed and they are addicted to gambling. So how can we use the technology to safeguard them? And another concern that exists in the area is the use, let's say, of this kind of online betting and gambling sites to facilitate money laundering illegal actions. This is because there is a lot of activity that can be done using cryptocurrencies. And of course, there are specific types that of websites or for online gambling sites that can help illegal acting players, let's say, to convert money that we are generated illegally into legal money using this kind of online gambling and betting services. So with the use of the blockchain technology, we can see that there is a lot of benefits that can be gained for the smooth operation of the online betting and gambling. For instance, by implementing blockchain and algorithms, all right, we can achieve fairness on game, and this can be guaranteed. We can verify the outcome. So when a draw comes out with specific results, we can use this algorithms, go through the blockchain. The data there are immutable, they're transparent, so everybody can have access, they're decentralized. And through this functionality, we can be sure that the outcomes are really fair. Also, using multiple techniques, we can limit the operation of the unauthorized operators. So this can be identified and restricted. And of course, we can use other kind of software to recognize and report people who are addicted. So, I mean, report not in a bad way, just to help them, to provide social support to these people, to provide treatment, to provide them the means to go or support them to go when into the rehab and help them themselves. So when we use cryptos, it's easy to register our wallet in transactions, and then through these transactions we can understand you know, many things, and so we can help the people who own this kind of accounts. And of course, using robust strategies, we can go and fight money laundering using some kind of cryptos. Many people can make some trouble, troubling in the blockchain space in order to clear illegal made money. All right. So using blockchain technology, we can reduce these activities.
One might think that the gambling industry might not be the shiniest example where blockchain has been applied, but at the same time, one could also argue that it is a great hands-on paradigm for testing blockchain frameworks, and then maybe transfer such a knowledge from that experience into other industries.
Yeah, sure. This is true. It's not only the gambling or the betting industry. We have applications in multiple areas, and each one of them contributes to the improvement of the whole ecosystem. So we can learn from each different use case and then collect all these different outcomes and generate, let's say, some best practices that can be used in various cases and explicitly in specific domains like betting and gambling.
We will discuss later on blockchain's applications, as you have already researched fields like in applying blockchain in the energy sector, like in the case of solar energy or even in the healthcare sector. When I first heard of the term blockchain, I was not really sure what that was all about, simply because I have not come across that term from one of the most promising applications of blockchain. So just by reading through what blockchain is all about, I read that blockchain stores information in blocks that are linked together using cryptography, and that each block contains a set of transactions and a unique identifier called a hash. And then the blocks are arranged in a chronological order, forming a chain. So rather than relying on a central authority, blockchain utilizes a distributed ledger, and this means that multiple copies of the blockchain exist across a network of computers or nodes, and once a transaction is added to the blockchain, it becomes virtually impossible to alter or delete it, and this immutability is achieved through the cryptographic links between blocks. Of course, this made me think also about the future of blockchain in the case of quantum technology, of a more widespread quantum technology application and quantum cryptography. So as the director of the Institute for the Future and in your research and experience, what current trends or developments in blockchain technology beyond cryptocurrencies do you find most exciting or impactful?
Yeah, sure. I think you can allow me to step back for a moment and since you started talking about what blockchain is, et cetera, I think it's good to share with the audience a few insights about the blockchain evolution. So when we talk about blockchain, we can classify its evolution in five distinct phases. As you mentioned, everything started back in 2009 with the Bitcoin protocol and Bitcoin cryptocurrency. And as correctly you mentioned, it was the first instance where people can issue money and distribute the money through the network. And also we can have this kind of decentralized opportunity to take decisions and do business in this new environment. A couple of years later on with the with the launch of Ethereum blockchain and the opportunity that gave us in regards in its functionality with the smart contracts, we had the new phase, the new wave of evolution, which was the smart contracts evolution. This is this happened somewhere in 2015. So the new thing here basically was the following: the first generation of blockchain one, we had a monolithic solution where all the different things, the consensus, the application, and everything were locked together. Everything was in one box, let's say, in plain English. But with the evolution of smart contracts, we were able to detach the upper layer, so we can add some programmability. And these, of course, programmability allow us to do business in a more efficient way, and that widespread basically many of the applications of blockchain technology. And later on in 2017, because of the evolution of smart contracts and Ethereum, etc., there was a widespread of decentralized applications. And sometime back in 4 years ago, in 2019, there was an issue with interoperability and scalability of blockchain applications. We know that every time we have the issuance of a new blockchain protocol, basically this new protocol comes to overcome existing problems. So due to the time, we started in 2009, and then 10 years later on, we had hundreds of different blockchains operate globally. So the question about interoperability, or because of the people participating, there was a need for enhanced scalability, etc. That was a critical issue. And actually, this is again one of the issues that we have in mind, or is under research when we dealing about current and future trends in the area of blockchain. So blockchain interoperability and blockchain scalability are two areas that, although were significantly identified a couple of years ago, there is still a lot of work that is under development in this area. In 2020 and a bit earlier than 20s, let's say 1920, somewhere there, we had the explosion, let's say, in quotes, or the widespread of the use of NFTs. So NFTs, non-fungible tokens, became so populous and revolutionized the way we do business in the area of blockchain. So they introduced something different with a lot of utility cases and applicability in this area. And another area that came on surface around the same time was the central bank digital currencies. These are currencies that already exist in some countries, in Bahamas and many different countries, Nigeria, in Eastern Caribbean countries, Jamaica, etc. So they have arrived, and they're going to stay here, and they're going to possibly replace in the future or operate in parallel with existing currencies. So if we go back to the initial question, I think, as I said, interoperability and scalability will be two important areas that research will continue to be developed. We can see that a lot of blockchain companies continue to improve their offerings in order to make their solutions more interoperable or more scalable. There was a recent change in Ethereum where to improve scalability, they move from proof of work consensus to proof of stake, etc. We can see a lot of development in the area of layer two blockchains. And I think this area will continue to flourish. For those who are not aware of layer one and layer two blockchains, we can say that layer one are blockchains like Bitcoin, Ethereum, Cardano, Ripple, Solana, Polkadot, Avalanche, EOS, etc. So layer two blockchains, they are the ones that sit on the top of layer one and offer their solutions. Example may include Polygon, layer two solution, Lightning Network, Plasma, and many, many different others. So three trends we can see here is interoperability and scalability. Work on this area will continue to, to be done in the not only now but in the future. Except in a way, interoperability is always an issue for many systems where we work on network economy, etc. So we want to have as much interoperability as we can, and of course to increase the mass adoption. We need to have scalable solutions. And layer two solutions provide this kind with, along with sidechains and other different types of blockchains. They support this kind of scalability and interoperability. For another trend is the use of CBDCs. We're at the early stages today of CBDCs. And we can see that in the future, there will be a widespread adoption of this kind of digital currencies. It's not the time, but we can have a discussion in the future about the history of money. So we went from different types of money in the past to banknotes, then to plastic money, like the cards that we use. Then we move to the digital forms of money. So now it's time to move from this kind of traditional means of exchange money to money issued by CBDCs, central banks called CBDCs, central bank digital currencies. And these are based on some of the main attributes of blockchain technology. Many of them can use smart contracts, many aspects of blockchain technology, etc. And this is not a fad. I mean, it's something that happens already. As I said before, Bahamas was the first country to issue its own CBDC back in 2020. It was the Sand Dollar. Then we had Naira a year later on, eNaira, issued by Nigeria. We have the Dcash by the Eastern Caribbean Union, where they debug their Dcash CBDC to the local dollar. We also had the Jamaica that launched its own CBDCs and so forth. There is a lot of work that is currently done, and many of this work is done in secret. It's not, the results are not disclosed. Central banks are involved. It's about they try to protect their currency, so they don't share a lot of information unless if you are part of the project. And just imagine that today we have 2.5 billion adults that are unbanked. They don't have their bank account. They don't have access to commercial banks. And if they have money, they have the money in their houses, in their pillows and their mattresses, etc., in places they can hide their money. And this also is a huge risk for their own security. That's why we can see that financial inclusion exclusion exists in many different countries of the less developed economies, and we can see that it's associated with high degree of criminality in these countries because of the issues I mentioned before, because they store the money in their houses, among others. So with the issuance of central bank digital currencies, all these unbanked people can have access to currency, and they can do the transactions using their mobile phones. So everybody can have a very smooth transition from the traditional way they use the money today in their countries to a digital one. And we can see a lot of other players coming in the next years, like China and Russia, have undergone through huge efforts in the area of CBDCs. Iran is trying to do so, to both Russia and Iran are trying to do so to overcome the embargo that they have due to the war conditions or the other situations with the Iran regime, etc. And we can also see that the European Union and United States of America, they are going to issue their own CBDC in the near future. Of course, another trend is the non-fungible tokens. These beyond art and collectibles are being explored for a range of other applications. We can talk about the use of NFTs in the metaverse and the gaming industry. We can talk about digital identities, intellectual property rights, or real estate and associate NFTs with the tokenization property. I can give an example to better understand what I mean here, how NFTs can be used in real estate and tokenization property. Myself and I assume all of the participants here today are not able to financially support the development of a 100 flats, of a block of 100 flats, let's say. Now, assuming that this block of flats, the 100 flats, has each flat in this environment has 100 square meters, size, then if you multiply this, make 10,000 square meters. So if we tokenize these 10,000 square meters, then we can issue one NFT per a square meter, and then everybody can buy the one NFT. Now, the one NFT, of course, can have a value, but for sure, it will not be the cost of, the total block of flats with the 100 flats, right? So in this way, we can break down complex buildings into small portions, then we can map them in a unique way with an NFT. The NFT has a value. So we can all of us join forces to support the development of this real estate venture. Another interesting area, and I think Yoda, you mentioned this before from my research in the area of energy, is the convergence, the integration of blockchain technology with other technologies. So this can be the Internet of Things, artificial intelligence, it can be the metaverse, the token economy, NFTs, and so forth. So all this can result in interconnected digital ecosystems that bring significant innovations to various industries. We mentioned before the area of energy. We can use them in supply chain and in many different other domains. And other trends we can see is Web3 and decentralized internet. We can see also other areas like DAOs, decentralized autonomous organizations, and decentralized finance, DeFi, to continue to evolve in this space.
You have already touched upon NFTs. Particularly, you've given an example in regard to NFTs and real estate. Mm-hmm. From virtual real estate and digital artwork to in-game items and collectibles, NFTs have revolutionized the way we perceive and value digital creations. Also, blockchain technology provides the foundation for NFTs, ensuring secure ownership, verifiable provenance, and the ability to transfer these digital assets seamlessly. With blockchain's decentralized infrastructure, NFTs have opened up new possibilities for creators and collectors within the metaverse. Of course, this gives a little bit of a different dimension. But as you've already described in your previous answer, with the rise of NFTs, what are your thoughts on their long-term viability and potential implications for various industries?
Yeah, I think NFTs is one of the most important areas in blockchain, not only in blockchain but also in metaverse, and we can see that after the storm we had, the NFT storm we had a couple of years ago, we can see new innovative ways of doing business. We can see a new way to verify and transfer ownership of unique assets on the blockchain. There is a huge debate in the area in regards to their long-term viability, the potential implications for various industry, and so forth. Regarding, I think we can talk about each differently. In the area of art and creativity, we can see that the NFTs have done a lot of significant progress in the world of art. Today, we can see how artists can monetize their work in new ways. It's not only the convergence of the transformation of their physical art into digital, and then the sale of this digital art in the form of NFTs. We're trying to see new ways to add value here. So a key issue is the rarity that we have in this area. I mean, that we can see collections that have specific number of items, and although they may look similar to each other, they have their own rarity, their own unique characteristics, etc. And in addition to this, we can see that the creators of these artworks can sell them as a form of the NFT, and the buyer can also have the right to use this unique, let's say, NFT to start a new business. They can create their own brand. They can go out and print T-shirts with this NFT and sell them under their own brand, etc. The artists, the initial artists, of course, they also have the control over their work. They can receive royalties for secondary sales, etc. So in terms of art and creativity, it has a huge impact in this area. And I think this is very, very interesting. We mentioned gaming and collectibles and gaming. Of course, virtual collectibles and in-game assets have strong use case for NFTs. And here we can see how these can be can support the area of the metaverse. In the past, we had, let's say, the traditional metaverse was a closed one where we couldn't take the online games, the in-game assets, and transfer them from one metaverse to the other or from one application to the other. Converted them into NFTs, we achieve much more than, the convergence of them into NFTs. We achieve that these can be transferred from one environment to the other. So we can achieve interoperability. We can also have enhanced functionality. We can use the attributes of one NFT, which is an in-game asset. It can be a tool, it can be a weapon, it can be a piece of furniture, can be some kind of clothes, and we can take these attributes and the NFT asset itself and move it from one environment, from one gaming environment to the other, without losing their attributes, which is really, really interesting here, very, very important, because as we can say, in the past, this was impossible to be done. And in some cases, people who wanted to take, to gain value of their in-game assets, they had to go to the dark web and start selling their in-game assets in the dark web. And of course, this was on one hand illegal, on the other hand, it had a lot of risks for the players themselves. But today, with the use of NFTs in the metaverse, something this can be done using any kind of marketplaces, either in-game marketplaces or metaverse marketplaces, or any kind of NFT marketplaces that can exist. So we can see how this technology can support collectibles and gaming. For music and entertainment, for instance, we can have the musicians and entertainers are exploring NFTs to sell their content directly to their fans, right? Which of course has an implication to bypass traditional distribution channels. In terms of real estate and physical assets, I gave you an example of tokenization previously. We can talk about intellectual property, how, for instance, patents, trademarks, copyrights, and others could be represented as an NFT and with all the attributes that they have. So the implication is that this could streamline IP processes, making license transferring or selling IP rights in a more efficient way. And of course, there are many, many other, like finance and identity, imagine a title or a certificate can be issued as an NFT, all right? We can have NFTs that are used to gain access to system. So where we have NFT-gated mechanism, all right? So you can buy this NFT and this can be your ticket to enter into an online system and so forth. So in conclusion, I can see that there is a huge potential in the area of NFTs. My opinion is that they are here to stay and their long-term viability, I think that they will be here. The only thing that is a concern is the market volatility. Some people go and buy because they don't know. They buy NFTs in extremely high price without a reason. So they need to be careful. They need to have a look to issues related to rarity and how scarcity is an NFT. Another thing that we need to be aware of is the legal issues and the regulatory issues. So we need to go into jurisdictions that support this kind of transactions.
The metaverse is a term coined in Neal Stephenson's 1982 novel Snow Crash, but conceptualized and popularized by science fiction, just like in the 1960s Star Trek. What the metaverse refers to is a collective virtual search space where users can interact with each other and their surroundings in real time, blurring the lines between the physical and digital worlds. The convergence of the metaverse and blockchain has sparked immense curiosity and excitement among technology enthusiasts and industry experts alike. As these two transformative forces collide, new possibilities and opportunities emerge, shaping the way we interact, transact, and experience the digital world. How do you see the metaverse and blockchain intersecting, and what potential opportunities does this convergence present?
Yeah, as I said before, we classify metaverse into two different types. We can talk about the closed or centralized metaverse, and of course, the open or decentralized metaverse. The first one is based on traditional technologies, where the role of blockchain technology was not that widespread, and it has its own, let's say, beauty, but also a lot of limitations. Limitations in regards to the innovation, limitations regarding the interoperability and interconnectivity of these virtual worlds with others. In terms of innovation, as I said, the innovation there is limited to the innovation of the or the ideas to the team that developed that metaverse. While in the open metaverse, we can have the participants proposing ideas, you know, voting for the evolution of different environments, different applications, etc. So they're an active part of the community that discuss the developments and the further expansions of each one of these different applications. I mentioned before how NFTs can be used to support the interoperability of and interconnectivity of metaverse environments. Now, I think it's essential to mention that metaverse is based on different layers. We can talk about the technology layer or the infrastructure layer. Above that, we have the platform layer, and then on the top, we have the application layer. And of course, there are two vertical layers. The first three I mentioned is the one on the top of the other. And we also have two vertical layers, the interoperability layer and the security layer. So we can see that blockchain technology can assist the vertical layers, the security layers, with the capability that it has to, to record data on a blockchain. The blockchain is a decentralized, which means it's not controlled by one organization, many different replicas of the same database exists in multiple computers around the globe, so it's transparent, it's immutable, etc. So it's difficult to hack the system in terms of the blockchain. Another part that the blockchain technology can support the metaverse is, of course, the decentralization layer. And apart from transparency and also assisting the democratization of control of the metaverse, I mentioned before that people participate, they take actions, they make their own propositions on how to improve the operation of a specific environment they participate in, and so forth. Additionally, actions within this metaverse are verifiable, all right? The history of all the transactions cannot be altered, all right? Everything is recorded, is immutable. So all the good principles of the blockchain, immutability, transparency, decentralization, security, reliability, and so forth, are part of the metaverse today. In addition, the blockchain technology and the digital currencies can assist the virtual economy layer of the metaverse. So we can see how tokens that are developed using blockchain technologies can be part of the virtual economy layer in each one of these metaverse applications.
In one of your journal publications with other researchers towards a framework for understanding the performance of blockchains, you explored the framework for benchmarking blockchain architectures to deploy and assess various blockchain protocols with a specific focus on security and scalability considerations. From your perspective, based on key challenges and opportunities in the field of blockchain technology and its integration into various sectors, how can organizations prepare for them?
Yeah, as I said before, scalability is an interesting issue, and interoperability. So here we need to deal with these issues, all right, and understand consensus mechanisms are used for the decision-making process in various blockchains that we have, and each one of them operate on different type of consensus. There are more than 30 different consensus that are used today. We have the proof of X, what we call it proof of X, which can be proof of work, proof of stake, and so forth. All right, so 30 different types of consensus mechanisms that each one has its own advantage and disadvantages. And in addition to this, we need to emphasize on the fact that we have different types of blockchain technology. Blockchain technology can be, open technology. We can have enterprise blockchains and so forth. So depending on the type of the organization blockchain or of the blockchain that we have, we need to select and adopt a proper kind of consensus to assist us to run our applications. In addition, there are many other concerns or many other key parameters that we need to have in mind. One of them is the environmental friendly mechanism, consensus. There are some of them that are not that friendly. They have a lot of, they consume a lot of energy, like the proof of work. And that's why many of them criticize proof of work consensus algorithms, and they're moving towards other consensus. So again, it's a trade-off. We have, as we call it, the triple problem in the blockchain technology. It's about security, it's about decentralization, right, and it's about performance. So you need to sacrifice the one over the other when we take decisions about this kind of consensus mechanism. And the article you mentioned clearly discusses all these three different parameters in an extent.
One last question, Marina. In the ever-evolving landscape of technology and innovation, the establishment of specialized academic programs play a crucial role in equipping individuals with the knowledge and skills needed to navigate emerging fields. At the University of Nicosia, the MSc program in the Metaverse has just set sail. and the MSc program in blockchain and digital currency embarked on its journey in 2018. How have you envisaged and delivered the development of the MSc program in Metaverse and earlier the MSc program in blockchain and digital currency, highlighting the specific motivations, methodologies, and challenges associated with building these unique programs that attract and benefit individuals who seek specialized knowledge in these emerging fields?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. Actually, our first MSc, the MSc in blockchain and digital currency, went live in 2013 to 2014. So there was a team here. I was in Athens when they started running the program, and I joined them 4 years later on. So the reason they established and launched this program was the following. When you do research and you come across with new fields and technologies, there is always a need for knowledge. The more you know, the better you are. So in trying to explain how to move Bitcoins from one wallet to the other or transfer this piece of information, etc., there's a huge gap of knowledge. And that moment back in 2013 to 2014, it was a key consideration here at the university. I mean, internally, we couldn't talk to each other, or we couldn't explain, the one colleague couldn't explain to the other how to do transactions on the blockchain. So they said, okay, this is a real need. What if we establish an MSc in blockchain technology and cryptocurrency? And imagine it was a very difficult time because the early ones who talk about blockchain technology or cryptocurrencies had a lot of critique because your name was associated with this kind of digital, you know, people who are doing illegal things because you are dealing with something new for them. All right. So in the beginning, everybody was saying that those who use blockchain, they are you know, money launderers, they are, you know, involved in criminal activities, terrorism, and so forth. So it was a very tough year, especially the first year. So we started with, 10, 14 students in the beginning, the first year, and then we managed to go up with hundreds of students finishing this program. Our goal was to offer, the opportunity to the people to come across and learn a lot of about blockchain technology, because we believe in one thing. If we want to widespread the technology, we need to focus on three things, which is education, sourcing, and regulation. As academics, we can affect the first two. We can provide education, certificate programs, etc. So people can get a lot of inside information and knowledge about how to build systems, how to manage the systems, run these applications, and so forth. The companies themselves, they can find our graduates or graduates from other universities who are aware of these technologies, and they can use them to run their own projects. And of course, there is a lot of work that is done on the regulations. And we can see that, especially in the area of blockchain technology, the more mature the country is on blockchain, then the more advanced it is. So it's a matter of the legislators to come here, the parliaments, etc., and go through and develop their own strategy, develop their own practices on how to run this technology. And this is not something that happened, by chance. It's something that needs a lot of work to be done. And we're glad that here at the University of Nicosia, we supported the activities of the Parliament of Cyprus to develop its own strategy and the government, a couple of years ago, back in 2019-20, when this activity, came to and was voted by the parliament. Regarding Metaverse, the issue is the same. We're at the beginning of a new era, all right? We have the convergence of a lot of technologies. Metaverse technology is not just one thing. It's a superset, let's say, of many, many different technologies. We can talk about augmented reality, virtual reality, extended reality, blockchain, NFTs, tokens, cryptocurrencies, artificial intelligence, IoT, sensors, spatial web, cloud computing, and so forth. And also we have interface devices, like haptic devices, headsets, VR, AR glasses, all right, many different other devices that can support us to develop holograms and so forth. So this is a huge superset, and all of them need to work together. And each one has a lot of implications in collaborations with the rest, and we need to put them, you know, in the right order to each one supports different layers, as I mentioned before, et cetera. And of course, there is a lack of knowledge. Someone may be, and also they open a new interest in areas of application. Someone can convert his experience, you know, from traditional, let's say, architecture to a metaverse architecture. He can design buildings for the metaverse, in the metaverse, using tools and technologies, and AR or VR technologies. Also, it transforms a lot of our environment that we know today. Imagine how useful it is in the education space. We can have immersive experience in the metaverse. Imagine teaching history using traditional methods and using metaverse. In one, you can go back in time. You can travel in time. You can go back to ancient Athens, all right? See and interact with all the philosophers. Be part of the crowd. Make discussions, move around. So the experience is much different compared to what we have. In the area of, let's say, healthcare, you can see people who were taught to perform specific operations 2, 3, 5 years ago, and suddenly tomorrow they have an operation. They cannot go back and, you know, just open their notes and read or watch a video how to perform a critical operation the next day. But with the metaverse, they can connect their equipment, all right? They can jump into the metaverse, go and practice before the actual operation. So they can see what are the risks are, they can see how to, you know, apply the best practices that the other doctors say and have a successful operation the next day. So the potential of metaverse is a huge one. And the only way to go forward is through education. Without education, we cannot go ahead.
Thank you, Marino, for joining us on this episode of the Global Greek Influence and sharing your expertise on blockchain, the metaverse, and NFTs. Your insights have provided a deeper understanding of these transformative technologies and their potential impact on our digital landscape and beyond.
Thank you very much for the invitation. It was a pleasure being here today. And should you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to send me an email. You can find my details online. It's easy to find the details these days. Thanks a lot.
We would also like to express our gratitude to you, our audience, for tuning in and embarking on this exciting journey with us. Your support and engagement are greatly appreciated as we explore today the territories of blockchain, the metaverse, and NFTs. Thank you once again for joining us on this enlightening journey. We look forward to bringing you more thought-provoking discussions in the future. Stay tuned and stay engaged.